Well, really, it's great to be here. People often ask me, Jay John, what do you do? And that's always very difficult to know what to say to people. Because if I say to people that I'm an evangelist, which I am, that conjures up certain images in people's minds as to what I might be like. If I say to them that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up different images in people's minds. If I tell people that I'm a canon in the Church of England, which I am, what does that mean? You know, it's like, I don't know. You know, it's like it doesn't help telling people those things. So I often like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport, and I said, hello. And she said, oh, hello. And I said, where are you going? She says, I'm going to Singapore. Then she said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Australia. I said, what do you do? So she told me. Then she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I work for a global enterprise. She said, do you? I said, yes, I do. I said, we've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. She said, have you? I said, yes, we have. I said, we've got hospitals, we've got hospices, we've got homeless shelters, we've got orphanages, we have feeding programs, we do marriage work, we've got schools, we do justice work, reconciliation work. I said, basically, we look after people from birth to death and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration. She went, wow, like really loud. And lots of people turned around and looked at us. She says, what's it called? I said, it's called the church. Have you heard of it? Do you know, that is what we do. We are part of a global enterprise. I mean, it's amazing what we Christians do and the difference that we can make in people's lives. But then I began to speak with the woman, and it became very, very obvious within a few minutes that the woman's understanding of Christianity was a misunderstanding. And that is so true today, that a lot of people's understanding of Christianity is a misunderstanding. And that's why it's so important for us who are Christians to be able to communicate and convey what we believe and why we believe it. There are two reasons today why people are not Christians. One, they have never met a Christian. Two, they have met a Christian. Those are the two reasons why people today are not Christians. Either because they've met a Christian or they haven't met a Christian. You see, you and I can make all the difference. In Acts 1, verse 8, we read this, that when the Holy Spirit came on the first disciples of Jesus, the Holy Spirit empowered them to be witnesses. Witnesses. Now, I'm Greek, okay? I'm bilingual. I speak Greek, English. I read the New Testament in Greek, okay? You know when some preachers get up and they say, the Greek means this? It usually doesn't. Okay, so I'm going to teach you a little bit of Greek here, okay? Now, where it says the Holy Spirit empowered them to be witnesses, the Greek word for witness is marturia. Does that word ring a bell for another word? Marturia. Martyr. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be martyrs. That actually would be a better translation of the Greek word. That in our witnessing, it may even cost us, and we end up being martyred. because of what we stand for. That is an eternal message. So back to Acts 1 verse 8, the Holy Spirit empowered them, and when we follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit empowers us, and there was a little strategy there. First into Jerusalem, then in Judea, then Samaria, then the ends of the earth. What did Jerusalem represent to the first disciples of Jesus? Well, that was where they denied him. Peter denied Jesus publicly. Where were they at the crucifixion? Only John was there. Jesus said, I want you to start in the place of your greatest failure. Where is that for most of us? Family, friends, neighbors, colleagues. In other words, if we're going to reach the world, we have to reach our world by cultivating the web of relationships that we have already got with those with whom we have a common kinship with, family and friends, with those with whom we have a common community with, neighbors, colleagues, with those with whom we have a common interest with. We might belong to the same society or the same club or whatever. If we're going to reach the world, we reach our world. Now, I've been thinking about this, studying it, lecturing, writing about it for 35 years. Okay, and this is my conclusion. How do we best communicate our faith? And I believe we do it in three ways. One, by praying. One, by praying. Two, by caring. Two, by caring. Three, by sharing. Three, by sharing. Praying, caring, sharing. Please repeat. Praying, caring, sharing. That's how we do it. You see, a missionary is not someone who crosses the sea. A missionary is someone who sees the cross. That was really good. Repeat it after me, okay? A missionary after me. A missionary is not someone who crosses the sea. A missionary is someone who sees the cross. You see, when you've understood the cross, in the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, the love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ compels me. And I believe the love of Christ compels us to pray, to care, and to share. When Killian and I've got three sons. When our eldest son was about two, the three of us were in Virgin Megastore in Nottingham. And we were down in the basement and we were just looking around, and Michael was with us and we're just pottering, and all of a sudden, Michael's not there. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it, when you've lost your child and you immediately think the worst. And we started looking around, couldn't find him. And it's like, has he been abducted? That's what you think. And Killy's running around in the basement, and I think he couldn't have gone to the next floor. But I think, maybe he did. But it was like only a minute ago that we saw him. And so I run upstairs, and I'm shouting, Michael. I then go to one of the reception desks, and I said, listen, I've lost my son. Have you got a tannoy? And they said, yes, we have. I said, give it to me. They said, no, you can't use it. I said, give it to me. And I grabbed it. And I'm going, every shopper in Virgin Megastore, can you please stop now? Please stop now. Please stop now. Can you look around? A little two-year-old has been lost. He's wearing this jacket. I couldn't care less what people thought of me. Why would I care? what people thought of me? Why would it concern me or worry me? Oh, they might be thinking I'm an idiot. They might be thinking I'm, you know, foolish. They might be thinking that, what? Why? I lost my son. Does it matter what people thought of me? You see, that's the kind of analogy that is used in Scripture to inspire us to reach and save the lost. You see, that's an important thing to hold on to, that people who don't know the Lord are lost. So how are we going to engage with them? By praying, caring, sharing. One of my favorite stories is the story of a family, one hot sunny Saturday afternoon. They're in their garden, and they had just acquired this new kitten. And they were trying to give the kitten some confidence. So they put the kitten up on a tree, and it kind of ran up this branch, and it slipped off the branch. But it managed to hold on. But because it was a little kitten, it didn't have the body weight to flick itself back up onto the branch. Now, they tried to get to the little kitten, but they couldn't because of all the other branches. Now, the father, he was a reverend. He always came up with great ideas. He says, I know what to do. I'll get my car, I'll get a rope. I'll tie the rope around the tree, I'll tie it onto the car. I'll drive a bit, bring down that big branch. We'll maneuver around and get the little pussycat down. Everyone said, Daddy to the rescue. Daddy gets the car, gets the rope, ties the rope around the tree, ties it onto the car, gets in the car, begins to drive. Slowly, slowly, the tree's bending, bending. The car's moving, the tree's bending. The rope snapped. As the rope snapped, the tree flung. The pussycat went flying out in the opposite direction. That's the end of the story. Look, not every story has a happy ending. Welcome to the real world. 2 weeks later, the reverend is visiting a member of his congregation. Knocked on the door, door opens, the lady says, oh, reverend, come in. He walks in. There in the hall was his little pussycat. Unmistakable. But he didn't want to say, that's my little kitten. So he said, that's a lovely little kitten you've got. Have you had her long? She said, Reverend, you're not going to believe this. 2 weeks ago, I was in my garden with my little son. And my little son said, Mummy, Mummy, please, can we have a kitten? I said, no, we've discussed this before, and I've told you we are not going to have a kitten. Don't keep going on about it. But he went on and on and on. The only thing I could think of doing was to say, I'll tell you what, let's kneel here in the garden. We'll pray to the Lord Jesus, and if the Lord Jesus wants you to have a kitten, he'll send you a kitten. Reverend, you're not going to believe this. When we pray, coincidences happen, and when we don't, they don't. Repeat that. When we pray, coincidences happen, and when we don't, they don't. Yeah, it's so true. So look, by the way, when I say what I say, I'm not assuming that many of us here don't do these things, but I'm trying to reinforce them for all of us and to remind us all of these principles. That we need to be more intentional in praying for our family, for our friends, for our neighbours, for our colleagues, and pray that God will speak to them in dreams, that God will illuminate their minds, their hearts, that God will send Christians into their world, that God will give us access, that God will give us opportunities, that God will give us wisdom, that God will, you know, we're praying. And I would encourage you to do that on a daily basis. I think sometimes once a week, it's always difficult because once a week, what day's once a week? Whereas Killy and I, we pray for our world every day. Every day we pray for our world. Now, for the people we know who don't know Jesus, we pray for them every day. Currently on our list, we've got 39 people that we pray for every day. How can we, with the Lord, introduce them to him? And we're praying with anticipation and expectation. Now, I know many of you do pray, but look, there's a couple of hundred of us here today, okay? Now, let's just say, let's just say, let's be conservative, okay? I'm sure there's over 200, but let's say there's 200 people here. If every one of us prayed for 10 people every day, that means 2,000 people will be prayed for. Just amongst here. And if 2,000 people were being prayed for every day, and then 2,000 people were invited to the carol services that are going to take place in this church in December. Well, have a go. Who knows what might happen? But pray. Praying leads to caring. You see, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And I've heard, and I'm aware of the history, a little bit of this church, that this is a very caring church and a church that does care about the needs of its people and the community. And it's wonderful, and I just want to reinforce that. Killy and I were going on a prayer walk where we live. And as we were walking around praying, I saw this lady. And I said to Killy, "Killy, is that lady, is she Barbara, who lives like seven doors up from us?" And Killy goes, "I think it is." And I said, "Is she a single mother who's got a sick son?" And Killy goes, "I think it is." And at that moment, you have a little battle. Shall I? Shan't I? Have I got time? Have I not got time? Can I be bothered? Can I not be bothered? And there's always, it all happens in like 2 or 3 seconds. Now, whenever that happens, I always do it. And I always do it just in case it's a God appointment. Because you never know, do you? It could be a God appointment. And I'll give you an illustration. God said to me a while ago, "Go and pray for this girl." And I thought, "Oh, okay, I ought to go and pray for this girl." And then, but in order to go and pray for this girl, I'd have to drive an hour. And I thought, "Oh, yeah, life's a bit busy at the moment, but yeah, okay." Time went by, and I heard the Lord say, "Go and pray for this girl." I thought, "Oh, yeah, I've got to go and pray for that girl." Okay. And I didn't. And then I heard it again, a third time, "Go and pray for this girl." And the day after, I heard on the news, she died. That girl was called Amy Winehouse. The reason I could have gone and prayed for that girl is because she lived in my cousin's house. She rented my cousin's house, and that was her home. So I could have gone. And the Lord told me 3 times to go, and I didn't go. Since that day, I have never refused a prompting of the Spirit. I've gone, I've done it, just in case it's a God appointment. So I see this lady. I go up to the lady, and I say to her, "Excuse me, is your name Barbara?" She says, "Yes, it is." She says, I said, "Do you live at like 7 doors up from us?" And it turned out she did. And she goes, "Oh, I know who you are." She says, are you J. John? I said, "Yes, I am." She says, are you a minister? I said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "Barbara, am I right that you've got a son who's not well?" She said, "He's dying. Can you go now to the hospice and pray for him?" And I thought, what does she think I do all day? You know, doesn't your own human thing click in? And I kind of think, what, does she think I've got nothing to do? And then I thought, have I got anything more important than that? I said, of course, we'll go now. We had to walk home, pick up the car, find the hospice, go there. We found him. He's sleeping. Killy goes, oh, well, we found him, but he's sleeping. Why don't we go away and we'll come back later? I said, no, I'm not coming back later. So I kicked the bed really hard. And I kicked it so hard, I like dead-legged my leg and I was like, ah! And this guy wakes up, and he's called Johnny. He's 32 years of age. And he's the only child of Barbara. And I said to him, Johnny, I've just met your mum. And I'm a minister. And I said, your mum asked me to come and pray for you. Would you like that? And as I said that, okay, I'm looking at this gentleman here, right? We'll reenact this. He looked at me in the eye like this, and he completely stared me out. Isn't that uncomfortable? So uncomfortable, isn't it? Because you don't know whether to look to the left or the right. And it was like that. It was like, ah! And he stared me out. And I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? And then he said this, I would rather have a hug. So Killy and I bent down. He lifted himself up. And the three of us hugged each other. He was crying, Killy was crying, I was crying. And then he let go, and we let him go. And I said, well, Johnny, do you want the prayer anyway? He said, well, look, I'm an atheist, but if you need to pray, go ahead. So I put my hand on his heart. I did go ahead. I put my hand on his heart like this, and I prayed on the inside. I did not pray on the outside. I didn't get all charismatic and Pentecostal and pray on the outside. Ooh, she came on a Honda. She came on a Honda? When did she come on a Honda? Oh, rubber dinghy. Rubber dinghy? What do you want a rubber dinghy for? No, I didn't let it out. I didn't let it out. It was all on the inside. On the inside. On the inside, I was saying, Jesus, we need a miracle. Jesus, you're the only one that can move mountains. There's a mountain here. You're the only one, Jesus, that can move a mountain. But I know that prayer and faith can move the hand of God. And then I just said, amen. I said, Johnny, would you like me to visit you again? He goes, I'd like that. Now, before someone's a Christian, they're in minus territory. And then when they become a Christian, they're born again, they follow Jesus, they cross a line, and they're in plus territory. Well, he was minus 100. And then I kept visiting him and visiting him. Minus 90, minus 80, minus 60, minus 40, minus 30, minus 20, minus 10. You could see it every time I was going. And then I went to visit him one time, and the best word that I can use was this. His countenance changed. Something beautiful. You could see it. The next morning, very early in the morning, knock on our door, open the door, it's the mother. She said, he died last night. Would you speak at the funeral? I said, of course I'll speak at the funeral. Now, he was a nightclub DJ in London, but I didn't realise he was a famous nightclub DJ called Johnny Sadassi. And at the funeral, there were 800 people at the funeral. And I was the speaker. I finished speaking, and when it finished, I just stepped down. As I stepped down, people just flocked like this. I had people here trying to talk to me. I had people pulling my arm to get my attention to speak to me. Mr. John, what did you mean that you can go to heaven via King's Cross? But you get the point. We're just walking around where we live. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Come on, Lord. We need an awakening here. We need to see signs of your kingdom. You get a quiver in your liver. Shall I? Shan't I? Can I be bothered? Can I not be bothered? Speak to her. Can you go and pray for my son? End up speaking at a funeral with 800 people. You know, all we're doing is praying, caring, sharing. The Bible says that the same Holy Spirit that lives in us is the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, my word. Wait a minute, just try and figure that one out. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Oh, my word. I've got a lot of power in here. I'm a carrier of the power and the presence of Jesus. Wherever I go, I carry the presence of Jesus. There's a little restaurant in a little village not far from where we live. Killy and I, we like going every now and again. We went to this restaurant for lunch. The chef, who's the owner, came up to us and said, "Oh, I was so happy to see that you were coming here today for lunch." He said, quote, "When you come into my restaurant, you bring an aura." You see, he didn't have in his vocabulary the presence of Jesus, the aroma of Christ. You see, what we need to do is have ears to hear and eyes to see, or just the hearts to be receptive to what's going on. You see, that was a signal. And then I asked him, "How are you?" And he said, "Oh, I've got a bad back." So I said, "Oh, I ought to pray for that." He said, "Would you?" And I did it very discreetly. As I'm talking to him, I just slipped my hand on his back and inside, come on, Lord. And then he mentioned about another issue. And I said, "You know, we'll pray about that." He said, "I don't think anyone's prayed for me ever." And then we said, "Would you like to come for Sunday lunch?" When we invited him and his wife for Sunday lunch, he cried. He said, "No one's invited them ever for Sunday lunch in this area where they live, where they'd moved, 15 years ago, because he's a chef. So nobody invites them for Sunday lunch." So we invited them for Sunday lunch. And then they said, "You've got to come to our house." So we said, "Oh, no. We're not going to do this. You come to us, we'll come to you." "No, you've got to come. And then they had a baby, which was a miracle. And then they wanted the baby baptized, and Killy did the prayers, and I preached about a month ago. So they're two of our 39 on our prayer list. Praying, caring, sharing. I went to get my hair cut. The lady doing my hair, Mary, I looked, and she had her keys in front of me, just under the mirror. And on her keys, on her key ring, she had a rabbit's foot. I said, "Mary, why have you got a rabbit's foot on your keyring?" "Oh," she said, "that's to bring me good luck." I said, "Mary, the rabbit wasn't lucky." How can an unlucky rabbit bring you any luck? And she's like, oh no. She got the rabbit's foot off the keyring, chucked it in the bin. You see, what we need to do, we're carriers of the presence of Jesus wherever we go. And we're praying, we're caring, and we're sharing. We're sharing. In a court of law, you've got the witness. The witness gets up and says, "Well, this is what happened." They don't even have to rehearse it. They just tell it. Tell it as it is. And then there's the lawyer. The lawyer gets up, presents the facts of Christianity in such a convincing manner as to get the jury to make a decision. Every single one of us is a witness. I'm a witness too. You know, and a witness is not just a witness to, "Oh, I came to Jesus on this particular day and this is what happened." That's one witness. But I was ever so fearful. And then I felt this perfect love cast out fear. That's a witness. I needed something, and God provided it. That's a witness. I was a bit confused about what I should do. And then I had this guidance. That's a witness. You see, it's just the miracles of God in our lives every day. John 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." Several centuries ago, a theologian called Erasmus, he translated it like this. "In the beginning was the conversation." I like that. Just keep the conversation going. Praying, caring, sharing. Sharing some seed. Just sharing something of love and grace and then giving people access and opportunity. So you're praying for your 10 plus people, and then come Christmas particularly, you invite all your neighbors, all your friends, all your colleagues, all your family. Would you like to come? Would you like to come to our church for one of our Christmas services? Okay. Research indicates this, that if you invite 10 people, yeah, between 3 and 7 will come. So if all of you are praying for 10 people for the next month, and then you issue out an invitation to all of them, well, let's assume, let's be conservative, out of every 10 people you invite, 3 will come. Well, they all might, you see, most of the time when people come to our meetings, we're like, ah, oh, they've not crossed the line. I'm not fussed about that. I'm much more, did the minus 100s become minus 90? Did the minus 50 become minus 30s? Did the minus 20s become minus 10? And did all the minus 10s, did they stop the cross over the line? And then what you do is you invite them all to Alpha or something like that or whatever, and you just keep praying, you keep sharing, you keep caring. The responsibility of the Christian and the commission that we've been given by the Lord is to go into God's orchard. God's orchard is the world. And we check the fruit, we check the fruit. If the fruit is ripe for picking, what do? You pick it. Because if you don't pick the fruit that's ripe for picking, one of two things happens. One, it overripes, falls to the ground and dies, or the Jehovah's Witnesses pick it. You see, we're up against a lot of competition. A lot of competition. And that's why we can't be too casual and too relaxed about this. Because while we're too relaxed and too preoccupied with so many other things of no eternal consequence, the Jehovah's Witnesses pick it, the Mormons pick it, the Baha'is pick it, the New Agers pick it. See, that's why there's an urgency about us doing this. Listen, these principles, we just want to live and breathe them in our lives all the time. And God gives us other opportunities. Your main opportunity is Christmas. Focus on that. Your second major opportunity is Easter. Next summer, 8th of July, 2017, bring a plus one to the Emirates Football Stadium. I mean, that's a big thing, isn't it? This week, we just signed the contract. Oh, boy, it's a big thing. But we're doing it with the belief, with the hope that over 50,000 people will come. And that's going to be the first of many football stadiums all over Britain. And, you know, we basically want 25,000 Christians to each bring a plus one. Now, some people will come to a Christmas carol service in church. Some people won't. Some people will come and do an Alpha course. Some people won't. Some people will come to the Emirates Football Stadium, and some people won't. But some people might come to the Emirates Football Stadium and not be interested in church or Alpha or anything. And after coming to the Emirates, they might then come to church and they might come to Alpha. And some of them might even step over the line. I was a student in London and I met a Christian called Andy Konomides. And he started to tell me about Jesus. He gave me a Bible. He took me to meetings. And he led me to the Lord. At my baptism, I said, "My friend Andy built a bridge from him to me. And when he did, Christ Jesus walked over it." You know, if Andy had never introduced me to Jesus, you know, what would I be doing now? Running a Greek restaurant or something, I don't know. Kebab house, I don't know. But you know, I do wonder if Andy had not told me about Jesus, praying, caring, sharing, would you put that date in your diary, 8th of July, 2017, and just see it as one opportunity in this next year amongst many, many, many other opportunities? Is praying, caring, sharing. I was speaking in Cambridge, and in a coffee shop, I met this girl, and we got chatting, and she asked what we were doing, and we told her what we were doing in Cambridge for 2 weeks. And I said, "You ought to come to one of our meetings." She goes, "Oh no, I'm not interested." So I said, "Well, come anyway." She said, "I don't want to come." So I said, "Well, come anyway." She said, "No, I'm just, no, it's not for me, it's not for me." "Okay, come anyway." She says, "Look, I don't want to come." "Okay, come anyway." She says, "I don't believe it, I'm not interested, I haven't got the time, I'm not coming, don't ask me again. Come anyway. Look, just come anyway." She came. She cycled 3 miles. She came to the meeting. And then she later on, in hindsight, when looking back, she says this. The music, it wasn't worship. It was someone singing some songs. She was like, spoke to her. There was a piece of drama. She thought that was her life. I got up and spoke for about 10 minutes. She thought, "How does he know about my life?" And then I said, "If you'd like to become a follower of Jesus, could you just get up, walk down, and come and stand here at the front?" And she was the first person to do that. She stood there to receive Christ. I was so impressed, she changed her mind. I married her. "I'm not interested." "Well, come anyway." "I don't want to." "Well, come anyway." Listen, I don't know. Whatever works for you, whatever works for you, do it in your way. But be intentional in praying, in caring, in sharing. Obviously, you know, in a few minutes in a sermon, yeah, please do put this up somewhere. Every time you see it, just kind of put your hand on it and pray God's blessing on it, that God will warm many, many people's hearts as we do that. Obviously, this morning, I know Jonathan and the church have taught and will teach more and more about this. But I've just the tip of the iceberg. If you want to dig deeper, then there's this book, Natural Evangelism, The Practice of Praying, Caring, and Sharing. And it will just take you deeper. It'll give you all the passages. It'll explain more. It'll give you a lot more substance. And that book's available at the back if any of you want to purchase a copy. I'd like to conclude by praying that the Lord will empower us afresh. Could I ask you all to please stand? The Lord is here, and that's not just a little statement that we make because we're Anglican-flavored Christians. Honestly, during the worship, I could feel and sense the presence of Jesus. I could feel it, and I was just kind of marinating in it. The Lord is here, and he's here to touch each one of us. If you're concerned about your health, or you're concerned about the health of someone you love who's not here, can you put your hand now on your heart? Just put your hand on your heart. That's either to represent yourself or to represent someone else. Lord, we're asking you now, would you please release your healing presence? Where there's any kind of disease, sickness, infection, we pray that you will cleanse it from our bodies and from the bodies of those that we're representing. Where there is any kind of degeneration, we pray now for regeneration and we pray for restoration. You created us in our mother's womb and you can recreate us. We speak health and wholeness and well-being in body, in mind, and in spirit. May your healing balm rest upon us and on those that we're representing. Lord, would you please give us a tangible sign of your healing this week? We pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit on us. We pray, Lord, that you will release us from any discouragement, disappointment, or sense of failure. Release us from the past. We pray that you will fill us afresh with your holy presence, your holy peace, and your power. We pray that you will send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work, to rest and play, and to do it all to your praise and glory. As we become even more intentional in praying for our neighbors, our family, our friends, and our colleagues, we pray even this Advent Christmas season, as we give out invitations to Christmas services, that we would see many people progressing in their journey of faith. We pray that many hearts, in the words of John Wesley, would be strangely warmed. And not only Christmas, but throughout any course like Alpha and Easter and on the 8th of July in the Emirates. We pray that you would use all of these opportunities to enable your kingdom to be extended. So bless us, we ask. Bless us with the blessing of God the Father, the blessing of God the Son, and the blessing of God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Jonathan.